we are delighted to be here, and we don't even mind your cold weather.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for winter to arrive where we come from.
Yeah.
So, thank you. Thank you to Mark and Bridgie and the eldership for having us. It's always a joy to be with you. I'm excited about tonight. I know that the Lord has something that he wants to deposit into all of us. And, you know, one of the things that we never want to just go to a church and deliver something and leave. We want to actually equip you to do what God has for you. And being able to hear from the Lord is part of your inheritance and mine. And so what I would like to do tonight is start with just a few things that have been helpful to me in some of the books that I've read, the people that I've allowed myself to be mentored by in the prophetic. So I wanted to start by asking a question to you. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you enjoy just hanging out with good friends? We've had the privilege of that in today and last night, just with Mark and Bridgie and Lou, just sitting around the table, just talking to one another, catching up with each other, because we trust one another. And it's just been a sweet time of fellowship. And I think sometimes we try to make the prophetic complicated, and really it is just hanging out with a good friend. So I want to just simplify it. And I look at Jesus' relationship with John in particular. They just like to hang out together. He's the disciple who we find leaning against Jesus' chest. And he knew how to rest in his love. And Jesus told John, because he was close enough to hear, that Judas would be the one that would betray him. And John was also the disciple that Jesus entrusted his mother to just before he died on the cross. So they had this close relationship where they did life together. They enjoyed each other's company. And so you might ask, well, that's great, but how does this fit into the prophetic? And so I just want to start from the very beginning, and I've said this to you before, we can all prophesy. In fact, we are all encouraged to prophesy. It really is just hearing from God and saying what he says to encourage one another. And in the Old Testament, there we have the major and minor prophets, and they were the anointed prophets of God, and they were recognized, and they were highly respected. And we do respect the offices in Scripture, but in the New Testament, we've all been given the Holy Spirit. As you sit here today, as a lover of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and we are encouraged in the Scriptures to go after this gift above other gifts, because the Lord wants us to encourage one another. He wants us to strengthen one another and comfort one another through life-giving words. So I wanted to just share with you six keys to being prophetic. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So I believe our first position is let's make a decision to eagerly desire this, not just for our sakes, but for the sake of the people sitting next to us, so we can encourage them. So number one, let's talk a little bit about the place. So the place where we easily hear from God is his presence. In 1 Samuel 3:3-4, we find Samuel resting around the ark. Thank you, I'm going to need that. And he's in this place where he hears the Lord's voice. And so we can position, I think we can choose to position ourselves in grace and in humility in the presence of the Lord. And it's from that place that we easily hear his voice. And this can happen, you know, you can think, well, I don't have time to just rest around the ark. You don't know what my schedule's like. I kind of do, because, you know, I've learned I can do this in the car, I can do this on an airplane, I can do this in corporate worship. I think there's something about the anointing in a corporate setting, but this is not something that we have to hide away to do. We can access the presence of God at any time because he's always with us. So then the second point is we need to love mercy, because if we don't love mercy, what are we going to do? We're going to judge one another. I'm going to see what's wrong, and I'm going to point it out to you and tell you what you need to get right. And if we don't love mercy, if we don't have a heart for the bride, we're going to hurt with prophecy. And maybe there's some of you that are sitting here tonight that have been hurt by a prophetic gift that was under a judgmental spirit. And I think the Lord even wants to heal some of that. But we need to have God's heart of mercy. Because whenever we minister to one another, it's always to build up. It's always to heal, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. It's not, thus saith the Lord, let me point out your sins to you. It's never that. Because we don't need, I think it's Chris Vallison says, we don't need discernment to see what's wrong. We need discernment to see what's right. And it's always amazing to me, and maybe you've experienced this, when you minister to somebody and you start to tell them who they are, you start to tell them how Jesus sees them, even if their lives are in a huge mess, suddenly the tears come because something resonates in their spirit. That's who I am. And we want to be those people. We want discernment to see beyond the natural so that we can encourage and see healing. And then number three, pray in the spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. So we do want to speak. We want to have interpretation in a corporate meeting if somebody comes and speaks in tongues. But tongues is an amazing gift. I want to say, if you do not have your prayer language yet, get people to pray for you. Ask the Lord for it. Because it's kind of like going to spiritual gymnastics. It's kind of like taking your spirit to the gym. We do edify ourselves. And sometimes we skip over that part. But the edifying ourselves is important as well. Because when we have a strong spirit, it's easy to hear from the Lord. Because our spirit is strong and ready for that. We can carry some weight in the spirit when we speak in tongues, when we exercise that gift. So pray in the spirit, number three. And then number four, inquire. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation and insight. He is a spirit of revelation. He wants to show us. And I think sometimes we just miss things because we don't ask. We just don't stop. And we say, well, everybody else hears from the Lord. But every single one of us here tonight can. And I'm pretty sure most have. But I want to encourage you, and we're going to do a little bit of that later. Just ask the Lord. Ask him, what do you see? And Greg's going to teach a little bit about just how we do that in a minute. But we can ask him. We can seek his face. And he wants to give us revelation. Something that I love doing is just reading through a passage of scripture and saying, Lord, what do you see? Lord, what do you want to show me? And something about the word is it never runs dry. There's always another treasure in there. And that's a good place to start. So I want to encourage you, maybe in your time with the Lord, to just take a passage of scripture and say, God, what are you showing me here? And he will show you something. So ask. And then number five is keep a secret. You know, something that I've learned is not everything that I hear do I have to share. Some of it is just to pray. Sometimes the Lord will show you something in somebody's life or a situation, and it's only to pray. It is not to share. Sometimes he will give us a word, and we only share part of it. Sometimes if it's in a public setting, you'll share part of it publicly, and the other part you might share privately, because the Lord only wants to encourage. He never wants to embarrass. That's never his purpose. In Amos 3:7, it says, surely the Lord will do nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. I think that the Lord loves and delights in sharing his secrets with us, kind of like he did with John. We know about him telling him about Judas, but I'm sure there were other things. I kind of imagine that there were other things that Jesus shared with John and probably Peter and James, because they were kind of like his inner circle. And I think the Lord delights in finding people that he can just say, hey, I want to tell you something. I want to share something about that person, or I want to give you a little heads up about what's coming. He loves to do that. So lean your head against his chest and ask him, because he loves to share his secrets with those that will listen. And then number seven is love the anointing. Love the manifest presence of God. Don't step out of it, but step into it. Lean in to the manifest presence of God. You have an amazing anointing for worship in this church. When you walk into, even this tonight, as they were practicing, the team were practicing, it felt like stepping into the manifest presence. So well done to you guys for pressing into that. But be comfortable in environments where the presence of God is welcomed. Don't step out, step in. Because it's in that space where I believe it's easy to hear God's voice. There are environments that are conducive to hearing more easily. And this is something that we can also do. We can do this at home. We can put worship on at home. I wouldn't be joining the worship team. That would not be a blessing. But I love to worship. And I love putting worship music on at home and worshiping the Lord and creating an environment of presence in my home. And I do that in my car. I do that in my office. And I want to encourage you to do that too. Because it's suddenly, if we quiet, worship quietens our spirit so that we can hear. There's something about worship. So love the anointing. Love the manifest presence of God. And then take a risk. Taking a risk is not, thus saith the Lord, you're going to go to China tomorrow. I see China, and that's what you need. That's just not what we're talking about. There are ways that we can give a word that is safe. There's prophetic etiquette. We're not going to talk about that tonight. But you can say to somebody, I'm not sure if this makes sense to you, but I feel like the Lord wants to say this to you. So they can say, well, that really didn't make sense. And there might be a time when it will make sense. You can say, maybe you want to put that on the shelf. Maybe this, resonates with you. But the way we give a word to somebody, the way we take a risk in stepping out and sharing, will also help that person receive it or not. Because I've received some words, and I'm like, whoa, that's just a bit much. It felt like in my face. But probably if I could get over the package, I might really receive truth. It's easier if the package is a little bit easy. So it's okay to say, I was praying for you, and I just felt like the Lord wanted to encourage you with this. That is no less spiritual than thus saith the Lord. So package it well, but take a risk. Take a risk and package it well. And then be bold. So we start with a position and a place. Because positioning ourselves close to his heart is important. If I'm in the laundry room and the washing machine is going and there's noise and someone's upstairs trying to talk to me, I'm not going to hear them. I'm not positioned to hear. So position yourself. Say, Lord, I thank you for your presence. Thank you, Father, that you love to speak to me. What do you have to say? Because I think sometimes we don't position ourselves and then we think, well, I don't hear from God, somebody else does. But I think it's just a matter of leaning our head against his chest. And that's what John demonstrated so beautifully to us. So, and then the impact of what you share is not so determined on the perfection of your sentence construction or how eloquent you are. I believe the impact is when we have a heart for his bride, when we deliver a word from a loving father that is personal, encouraging, and simple. It has a much greater impact. I remember one of the simplest words I've received and one of the anchors in my life is just before we moved to the States, our youth pastor, Kevin Funick, you know him well, he gave a word. He said, I just feel like the Lord says, when you move to the States, just be yourself. And I was kind of like, Kevin, that's all you have for me? I'm like, we're moving continents here. And he said, yeah, that's all I feel like the Lord's saying right now. It's like, okay. But I've held on to that. I've been reminded of that word over and over again, 20 years later. Like the Lord gave me permission just to be me. And so that was a simple word. And there will be others that will be longer in that. But don't feel under pressure. Well, some people give these really eloquent words. Sometimes it can just be two or three words. But the impact is if we love people, if we love mercy, it will have an impact on people. It must represent the heart of God and the finished work of the cross. Our words must be on the foundation of his grace. And then we always speak to the treasure. We ask the Lord what he sees, not what we see. And sometimes they will be similar. Sometimes they will make absolutely no sense. You might look at someone's life and it just is such a mess. And yet the Lord has this amazing word for them. Speak what he sees. I love the story of Gideon hiding. He's hiding away in the cave. He's running away from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord comes to him and he says, "You mighty man of courage." He calls him a mighty warrior. And he hadn't done that yet. He didn't look like a mighty warrior. He looked like a man in fear and trembling, as we probably all would be in his case. But the angel of the Lord saw who Gideon was meant to be. And he gave him something to step into. You see, the prophetic gives people, when we give God's perspective of how they are, it's like I give somebody a word, and now they can step into God's truth. And some people are just waiting for us to give them something to step into. So I love that picture that I can say something. We can, to our children, to our spouses, to our friends. We speak a word, and now we give them the Lord's perspective to step into. And the angel of the Lord gave Gideon something to step into that he hadn't yet done. Jeff Jansen, a prophet, says, when we give a prophetic word to someone, we become supernatural connectors. We become supernatural connectors. As we open our mouth and speak prophetic words, the realm of glory is made manifest as we connect someone to heaven's encouragement. So here we have Gideon, who's not doing so well, and we have the word of the Lord over here. And the angel of the Lord connected Gideon to who he was. So we become supernatural connectors. Gideon gets connected to the truth of who he is, and he ponders this, and he argues with the Lord a little bit, and then he steps into it. So to segue from there, I want to talk a little bit about the power of declaration. And this is something that we're learning at Northlands and in our own lives, and have really been impacted about how powerful declaration is. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." There's incredible power over what we speak over one another. We had Wendy Backlund at our church a couple of months ago, and she said that her and her husband, Steve, are living into, was it 80%? 80% of their declarations. And Greg said, you know, I think everybody's living into 80% of their declarations, good or bad. So we have something to live into. So the question is, what do we speak? How do we do this? We can take a scripture, we can take a prophetic word, and we can make it into a declaration. And it's something that we've done. I don't know if you have those few pictures. Let me just show you what we've done at Northlands. So there was a word from the word was "No More Delay," and this was a prophetic song that somebody came and sang over our church years ago. And so now we speak that over the promises of God. There will be no more delay. It's become a declaration, a prophetic declaration in our church. We also got a prophetic word that we are a house of freedom and praise. And so we speak that. We are a house of freedom and praise. That's who we are. So we've taken a prophetic word and we've made a declaration out of it. And over here, these are just, I won't go through all of them, but we've taken prophetic words and we've made declarations out of them. And we've put them, made them visible throughout the church. Before we moved to Atlanta, I was asking the Lord why. And he said, because I want to give you access to the nations. And it is a hub airport. So we've made that into, we are a church located in Atlanta because it has access to the nations. We are a church whose foundations are strong, whose foundations will support a movement. Those were prophetic. Anyway, there's a whole list of them. But we have these all around our church. We've taken the prophetic and we've made a declaration and we speak that over. And we're living into some of them, not all of them, but we're trusting God for that. In Genesis 17:5, we find God speaking to Abraham. And Abraham, he was Abram, and then he went to Abraham. So the Lord took him from exalted father, which is Abraham, to father of many nations. And God asks Abraham to call himself by the promise. He didn't yet have a natural son, but he was declaring what was not yet. In Jeremiah 29, let me give you an example that what we can do. Jeremiah 29:11, it's a popular scripture, I love it. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm, plans to give you a hope and a future. So I can make that into a prophetic declaration over my life because the word of God is active and true and alive. I can say I'm free from fear, believing that my future is secure and full of hope because I'm in Christ. So I take a scripture and I make it into a declaration that I can speak, that I can read, that I can see. And what's fascinating for me is that Jesus began his supernatural ministry with declarations. He was in the synagogue and he was reading from the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were on him. He began to say, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So Jesus declared who he was before he had walked in all of it. That's amazing to me. He declared prophetically what he was called to do. And I think something happens in our faith level and in the spiritual realm when truth is spoken. When we speak truth over ourselves, when people speak truth over us, when we rehearse and go over prophetic words, something happens in the atmosphere around our lives. Because prophetic declaration will speak to our identity. It will remind us of who God says we are. It's also a war club. You know, when the enemy comes with accusation and you know who the Lord says you are, I can say, no, that's not who I am. This is who the Lord says I am. When the enemy comes and says, you're just not going to make it, you're probably going to fail, you can say, no, because I have a good future. The plans for me are good. I'm not going to fail. And so we take words, we take prophetic words. Some of you might have them written in your journals, things that people have spoken over you or favorite promises from the Word of God, and we make them into prophetic statements. Because the prophetic is a tool in our hand. It's a war club. It's also a shield. But if we have no idea what the Lord's saying, we don't have that shield. I need truth to step into. And the prophetic is not to expose what I'm doing wrong. It's to remind me that I'm righteous, of how he sees me. So I'm going to just read these. So first of all, we want to find the place is his presence. Hunger after the presence of God. Love mercy. That's really important. Pray in the Spirit. Make it a habit to pray in the Spirit because it edifies your spirit. Inquire of the Lord. Ask him. And then learn to keep a secret because some of it will just be to pray through. Love the anointing and be comfortable to take a risk.